We'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this world to conquer death for us, and we pray that you guide us now by your Holy Spirit and give us the comfort as we see the power that you have over the last enemy that one day shall be destroyed. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to welcome those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes, and I know some of you are in places where the climate is a little better than what we've got right now. I'm thinking of California mainly. Some of you are out there in Colorado, Washington, and right here we're having a cold snap. It's been 15 to 18 below zero during the past week. Snow is on the ground, and if you go out into the woods, everything looks kind of lifeless and dead. But there are seeds under the snow and the cold, and come the month of May, if you go out in the bluffs surrounding our city, well, you're going to see, if you look for it, little spring flowers. Some of my favorites are shooting stars that are very, very small, and they only last for a week or two, but they're a sign of things to come. And shortly after they appear, why, the trees are going to be filled with leaves and everything will be full of life again. The little flowers are kind of like hidden beauty. You've got to look for them. They're very small, but they have a beautiful message. And it's kind of like the same thing we got in our text today where we zero in on one little phrase, the child sneezed seven times. A small little thing that happened, and yet it was a prelude to great things. Now we're going to pick up the narrative as we've been going through it in verse 29 of 2 Kings chapter 4. And remember here, we're talking about a Shunammite woman whom the Holy Spirit says was a great woman. And this woman has just recently lost her little son. He went out with his father in the fields and with the other reapers, all of a sudden had pains in his head, and the father gave the child to one of the servants, had him take the child home to his mother, and she held the little child on her lap until noon, and then the child died. And she took him up to the upper room, laid him on the bed of the prophet Elisha, and then made a hurried trip to the prophet. And we pick up the narrative where she is with the prophet and his servant Gehazi. And the prophet now, Elisha, speaks to Gehazi in verse 29. And he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." So this was the command that the prophet gave to Gehazi. You run ahead. I want you to go as fast as you can. Don't stop for anybody. Don't talk along the way. Take my staff. Lay it upon the face of the child. So Gehazi goes out and starts going back toward the widow of the woman of Shunem's house where the dead child is. Now we see another odd reaction on her part. We would expect that she would go with him. She doesn't. And this is very meaningful. And the mother of the child said, now she's talking to Elisha, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Now we have heard these words before. These are the same words that Elisha spoke to Elijah. One of the times is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. I'm not gonna leave you. I'm gonna stick with you through thick and thin. Now she has the same reaction toward Elisha as Elisha had toward Elijah. I think this is extremely important. Notice also the cool reaction that she has toward Gehazi. I think this is important. We'll get back to that later on. So the picture here is that Elisha has told Gehazi to take his staff, run ahead, lay it upon the head of the child. The woman stays with Elisha, says, "I'm not going to leave you." So then Elisha goes with her. And he arose and followed her. So now Gehazi's going on ahead. The great woman of Shunem and Elisha are following. Verse 31, and Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him. He came back, and he told Elisha, saying, the child is not awakened. We'll get back to that. Now we have a struggle between life and death, beginning at verse 32. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, about the two of them, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Very, very mysterious. And a few thoughts that came to me. You notice here that the miracle took place in three stages. First of all, the child's body became warm. And then secondly, there were those mysterious seven sneezes. The child sneezed seven times. And then the child opened his eyes. Now, you can't help but think of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit here in these three stages in this miracle. I believe that all three are active, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are other passages in Scripture that seem to kind of relate here, it seems to me. One of them is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And you get three things here, asking, seeking, and knocking. And the correct translation of this shows the repetitive actions. Neither of these are a one-shot thing. The correct translation, which I believe the Amplified Bible has it, keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. That's one of the things that sort of comes to mind. Another one is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, where the Holy Spirit tells us this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And notice there's an emphasis here on being patient and persistent. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep on going. And then in Mark chapter 4, verse 28, a lesson from nature. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. So a lot of times it seems like things happen in triplicate. And I almost believe that this is a reference to the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the intriguing part of the text for me is the seven sneezes. And it's hard to get a handle on this. You look up the word sneeze in Scripture and you find out that this is the only time that it's used. And In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the Holy Spirit asks the question, who hath despised the day of small things? And I kind of relate that to this text. These seven sneezes, you know, they're very small things. And normally, if a parent would hear his or her child sneeze, it would not be a good sign. You'd think they're coming down with a cold. However, if the child is dead, and a parent hears the child sneeze, there would be a joy in that sneeze beyond words. Now, a sneeze is not a very big thing. It's involuntary, really. But it's a sign of life, isn't it? You've got a corpse, and if the corpse sneezes, that's a sign of life. And if it sneezes seven times, you know, seven is a pretty important number in Scripture. There's reason to be extremely happy about this. Now, I relate it this way. As parents, when we're raising our children, naturally you want to see them walk in the way of the Lord. And there are setbacks along the way. Things don't always go exactly the way you want them to. And sometimes you wish that things were going better than maybe they are. But I think what we should do is look for small indications of spiritual life and not despise it. You know, if nobody ever did anything good in the whole world, if nobody ever did an act of love toward anybody else, if everyone was completely selfish, all for themselves, that wouldn't surprise me in the least. That is exactly what you'd expect. But when there is a little fruit of faith, don't put it down. A little child performing just a little act of love or kindness, you know, these things can lead to tremendous things. Little sneezes. You know, as far as you and I go, too, and I think, I examine my own heart. And I prayed a lot about this. I wish I was a lot further along than I am as far as my sanctified life goes. I fall so many times. Fall short so many times. Saying things I shouldn't say, doing things I shouldn't do, not doing what I want to do, not doing what I should do. And it can get kind of discouraging, very, very discouraging. We've got formidable enemies we've got to fight against. We've got the devil, we've got the world we're living in, and our sinful bodies which are constantly trying to pull us down, and the fight can get very, very discouraging at times. But, you know, one of our seminary professors one time made the remark, said, you know, if you're not really excited about other Christians, at least look at the little light that you see and wonder what would they be like if they didn't have the gospel. It would be a lot worse. I remember manager of a business telling me one time that they had a big meeting and they were going to inaugurate a bunch of changes out in the plant. And he was really excited about these changes. And so things got going, and they weren't going as quickly as he wanted them to go. And he's really bothered about that, so he went to the chief honcho, the CEO, and he said, I got something that's bothering me. And the guy said, what is it? And the plant manager said, you know, these changes that we've got coming, he said, they're not coming nearly as fast as I want them to come. And the guy at chief honcho looked at him and said, oh, I tell you what, I could walk out in that factory right now and I could find you 50 workers that think that the changes are coming too fast. So kind of get in the middle of this here a little bit. Maybe sometimes we're not progressing as much as we'd like to. But patience is the key. And I remember that license plate, I mentioned it before. Be patient. God isn't finished with me yet. That's a key thing. The end product is going to be good. When this thing was all over, after the seven sneezes, which aren't real exciting, but the child opened his eyes. And finally the child could see. And the prophet gave him to his mother. And she went out with a live child. Now, I'd like to go back. This is a key thing, but there is one of the most vicious things in this text that I have ever seen in my life. It's orchestrated right from the pit of hell. And it's found in verse 31. I'd like you to try to put yourself in this situation, not knowing, now the child has been raised from the dead and everything is fine, but at this point, that hasn't happened. You had a woman whose child died in her arms. And she put him on the bed of the prophet. She hurried to the prophet as quickly as she could. She got there and first of all was met by Gehazi. She didn't give him the time of day. I wonder why. Then she came to Elisha and fell at his feet. Gehazi tried to snatch her away. Then the prophet gave his staff, a rod, to Gehazi and said, go ahead, the staff, take my staff, go and lay it upon the face of the child. The woman didn't go with Gehazi. She stayed with the prophet. The two of them then came later. Gehazi ran ahead, and then he came back. Now put yourself in the place of the woman of Shunem. What do you think she felt when Gehazi came back and said, the child is not awakened? Think she felt. What is Gehazi really saying here? What is he really saying? What's the implication of this? It didn't work. It didn't work. That's his implication. Okay, you look up the word Gehazi in a concordance and you find out that the word means the denier. That's what the word Gehazi means, the denier. And I looked and I thought to myself, studying this journey, I just know that this guy's name occurs 13 times. I know that. I found it only occurred 12. I wondered about that. So I started looking a little bit further and I found out there's another odd reference to someone who is called the servitor. The servitor. That's Gehazi. I will find that out and get that's Gehazi. So this guy's name really in a hidden form occurs 13 times. This guy is a false prophet. And here you see how false prophets work. The prophet Elisha told Gehazi, take the staff and lay it upon the face of the child. The prophet did not tell Gehazi, when you do that, the child is going to come to life. He didn't tell him that. He didn't say that at all. All he said is, you take my staff and lay it upon the face of the child. That's all he said. When Gehazi came back, what he should have said was, I did what you told me to do. I took your staff and I laid it upon the face of the child. If he would have said that, the woman of Shunem would have been greatly comforted and greatly encouraged. Instead, he came back and he said, the child is not awakened. The idea being, I did what you told me, but it didn't work. I don't believe that what he said affected this woman one single bit, but it could have. She was a great woman, remember. She saw things. I perceive, she said, there was an I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. She said that about Elisha, but she didn't say it about Gehazi. You notice as you go back how coolly she is relating toward this guy. She knows something about him. She knows he's a false prophet. I'm convinced of it. And I think she also knew that psalm that David wrote. You know it too. The most famous, probably the most famous piece of scripture in the whole Bible. Psalm 23. And what does it say in verse 4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This is exactly what is happening. Exactly what is happening. There's a dead child. The great woman of Shunem is comforted by the staff. Elisha had given Gehazi his staff, said, lay it upon the face of the child. Now he did that, and looking with human eyes, he came to the conclusion that it didn't work. Nothing is happening. Why? Well, because the child is not awakened. But Elisha hadn't said that would happen. And just because you can't see something with your human eyes, does that mean that nothing is happening? Oh, not at all. You know, this is the difference between walking by sight and walking by faith. You walk out in the bluffs of Perot State Park and you look at the ground, it doesn't look like anything's happening. But something is. And come spring, these beautiful little flowers are going to come up, and more beautiful than Solomon in all of his glory. You know, when there's silence in heaven, this is a sign that God is about to do something really great. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 starts out this way. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. But if the devil thought nothing was happening, he had a surprise coming. That silence in heaven was followed by tremendous things, angels blowing trumpets. And finally the kingdom of hell fell, and the kingdom of God opened up eternal glory. So even when it seems like nothing is happening to the human eye, that doesn't mean by a long shot that nothing is happening at all. There are tremendous things that are happening. You and I just can't see them. Now, in my opinion, this is the most vicious attack that I have seen in all Scripture. This is orchestrated right in hell. You see the devil at work here. This false prophet trying to cast fear into the heart of a mother who had just had her child die in her arms. Trying to take the comfort that God has away from her. Gehazi's going to rot in the fiery pit for this. But it didn't faze her. It didn't faze the great woman. She saw through this whole thing. And you know, the verse comes to mind where Christ Jesus very calmly says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And the voice of a stranger they will not follow. He knows that. Because the Holy Spirit guides his elect. And the false prophets finally can't lay a little finger on them. Great peace have they that loves God's law, and nothing shall offend them. The great woman of Shunem. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we can't thank you enough for sending your Holy Spirit into this world after you ascended into heaven, and for the tremendous blessing which each one of your children have, the blessing of having the Holy Spirit dwell within our own hearts and bringing to our mind the words which you yourself have spoken. And we pray that when Satan makes his vicious attacks upon us to try to frighten us, bring fear and terror into our own hearts, especially when we're carrying heavy crosses and faced with that arch enemy, death, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit you would give us that comfort which you have, that nothing, even death, can take away. And grant that our faith may be strengthened through all the storms that we pass through, and that finally, being faithful unto death, we may be given by you at the last day the crown of life. We pray that you give us the same sort of faith that the great woman of Shunem had. We pray this in your name. Amen.